Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
If you enjoy deep dives into solved and unsolved murder cases, then Murder True Crime Stories is the podcast for you. Find Murder True Crime Stories on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on in. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Kyle Quinn behind the glass. You guys on the phone lines. A lot to talk about today. Saquon Barkley, his chances at the NFL MVP, and the rushing record. We're going to do some math on the show today. Nick Sirianni will speak later. We'll carry it live. Ross Tucker, kiss the baby as we approach week 13 in the NFL, and an update on the Juan Soto sweepstakes, and I wish it was a different. We'll get to all that. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. Hey, listen, lumpy oatmeal is the best. I don't care what anybody says. Lumpy oatmeal tastes the best.
What are the other kinds of oatmeal?
Well, you know, some people like the oatmeal kind of runny.
Oh, okay. Lumpy versus runny.
Yeah, some people like it super runny. They like it soupy. I'm not a big fan of soupy oatmeal.
I'm with you, but you don't want it to congeal too much.
I like it when it's congealed.
Totally congealed?
Yeah, I like
you
it when it's
freeze
like,
it, yeah.
I like it when it's a lump. You never see me in the morning when we eat. It's like a clump. I put like a clump on my spoon. I like the clumpy oatmeal.
I have seen that. Yeah, all
yeah,
right. So
I like that clumpy oatmeal.
Little oatmeal talk to start the show. Let me give you something that's the opposite of oatmeal. That's really exciting. The 2024 Eagles. Hugh, this team is really good. I heard yesterday as I was driving home, it was the afternoon show, and I think Spike finally entered the realm where he's ready to talk about the Super Bowl. Now, we've been there for a while as
a show.
Yeah,
we've been there for weeks.
I mean, you started trying to get us there in the summer. It took me, like, I don't know, 8 weeks to get there, and then I started saying, yeah, this team could go to the Super Bowl, and I believe they are clearly one of the top two teams in the NFC right now, and it feels like we're on a collision course, the Eagles and the Lions, to get to the Super Bowl in the NFC. But, Hugh, as I hear everyone now saying Super Bowl or bust, Super Bowl expectations, we're eastbound and down, we're thinking about a trip to New Orleans. It has gotten me thinking about where we were at 2 years ago, because that team was pretty much from the start of the season until the end. They were the favorites in the NFC. They jumped out. They were the best team. And 2 years ago, I felt like the Eagles were on a path to the Super Bowl. It took me a little longer this year to get there. Now, I think we've all decided right now they're really good. We've all decided they have a real chance to make the Super Bowl. The question is, are you ready to say they're better than the team 2 years ago? And let's not let revisionist history get to us because they lost the Super Bowl. That team 2 years ago was outstanding. Mm-hmm. They really were a tremendous football team that dominated most weeks. They beat the crap out of bad teams.
Yeah, like they lumped some folks up.
They did. They were different, right? They were more of a they ran a lot, but they were more of a pass-first offense. Then they ran to put you away. This team is more of a run-first offense, and they beat you in a different way, but it's still really similar. They do a lot of things, a lot of the same people, same coach, same quarterback. So, Hugh Douglas, are you ready to say right now the 2024 Eagles are better than the team we saw 2 years ago that made the Super Bowl.
You know what? When we were talking about this morning, it took me a while to answer, but the more and more I think about it, I mean, I think my answer is easy, and I think it's yes. Because when I think about that team, I think about certain things that happened at the end of that season when people were talking about folks being outcast and how, you know, most of the guys that you have. Because if I think the backfield in that Super Bowl win was guys that were outcast from other teams.
Well, so
it was Miles Sanders.
Kenny Gainwell were the backs, yeah.
Yeah. So it was one of those things where – no, you're talking about – you know, I'm thinking about the wrong squad. Excuse me. I'm thinking about the other squad that actually won.
Oh,
the
no,
Super
I'm talking
Bowl.
About the one 2 years ago.
Yeah, I think it is. So let me get back on track here. Yeah, I do think it is still. I do think that is the case because Saquon Barkley is man, I can't even quantify what he means to this team. You know, and I've been thinking about that the last couple of days.
I think everyone has.
And it's really like listening to what's being said about him, you know, thinking about his contribution, thinking about this MVP, this MVP talk and what he brings to the table. I know it sounded like hyperbole last night when I said it. I was on the show. We were doing the Players Lounge last night. And I said to Ike, I said, I think that Saquon Barkley is Eagles Hall of Famer right now. And he kind of looked at me and, you know, Ike's a deep thinker. And he was like, he didn't respond. But the more and more I think about it, I feel more conviction about saying that because of what his contribution has been in this year. It's something to be said about being on a team that has this kind of feel and this kind of camaraderie that's like no other place in NFL. Just to give you a little bit of background on that, when I went to Jacksonville, when I took the money, that was the one thing that I missed more than anything else about this city was the camaraderie that we had on the field. I've seen a side of Saquon that, again, I don't watch too many Giants games, but I would venture to say that a lot of Giants fans haven't seen this side of Saquon.
Can I bring a word to the discussion?
What's that?
I see joy in him, the way
yes.
he plays.
Yes.
Like he's like a kid again.
Yes. He looks like he's in college, and he's at Penn State, and he's running like – Three yards in a cloud of dust or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He just looks rejuvenated. And, you know, the big talk has been over the last couple of weeks, how many touches he's had. I don't see any signs of him slowing down. I know everybody's worried about next year and how running backs fall. Let's worry about next year. Let's ride this wave. Let's see how far we can get on this tank of gas.
So you're saying this year, mostly because of Saquon, is the difference?
I think so.
Okay.
Let's see how far we get on this tank of gas.
All right. So here's where I'm at. And I thought a lot about this morning before we got on the air, because I have to be honest with you. If this question came up 5 weeks ago, I probably would have laughed at the idea. Like, because I don't think we should underrate the 2022 Eagles because they lost the Super Bowl to the Chiefs, right? Like, that team was incredible. That was a great football team that dominated the NFC all year. They dominated two playoff games to the tune of, I think it was like 69-14. Like, they left no doubt on the way to a Super Bowl. This team still has to do that. They still have to get there and check all those boxes we know the team 2 years ago did. But, Hugh, I am starting to consider it. My mind is moving towards that this team might be better. And I saw this stat yesterday. It blew me away. Through 11 games, 2022 Eagles versus 2024 Eagles. This team, the one we're currently watching, has a better scoring margin, has a better yardage margin, and a better explosive play margin. So more yards compared to the other team, more points compared to the other teams, more explosive play. Like, it's statistically, this one looks better. But I'm going to put it this way. I'm not quite ready to say it. Maybe you guys will convince me. Maybe you'll convince me. I'm not sure where Kyle's going to come down. I'm not quite ready to say it for two reasons. They are better in the running game, clearly, right? Like, Saquon is a different kind of beast than they had with Miles Sanders and they had with Kenny Gainwell 2 years ago. Even though it was a good running game, this is different. And Saquon gives it a different element. I also believe this year's defense across the board has better secondary players and better back seven players. You know, just better players in the back and against the pass.
Mm-hmm.
But man, Hugh, two things that I still am holding out on, and the BG injury does now affect it a little bit. That team 2 years ago was better at throwing the football, and they were better at getting to the quarterback. That's why I'm close, but I'm not quite there yet. I can't say it yet because I just thought the team 2 years ago was a better throwing team, and they got to the quarterback. 70 sacks is an incredible number.
It's nothing to sneeze at.
And this pass rush, although they've been effective, and Vic Fangio has schemed it up, and they've got it from a bunch of different guys and contributions, they haven't quite gotten there yet. They haven't quite. Now, look, I'm watching it. How about a guy that's been on both those teams? Darius Slay, he talked about this last week, 2022 versus 2024. He's one of those guys that was on that team. He's on this team. Here's what he thinks about which team is better.
Hey, last one for you. What's the difference between this year's Eagles team and the Eagles team that went to the Super Bowl?
I say this team is way a lot more, you know, balanced than the 2022 team because of the fact that, you know, if you are an Eagles player, the Eagles always been D-line driven. And, you know, the D-line really kind of like carries the team. They set the tone. I think this whole team here in 2024 is a team. The defense is a whole tone setter. That's instead of just like the D-line, even though we still command the D-line to set the tone because they are the front. But you can see it's kind of like more balanced. Not guys that sticking out with 15 sacks, 12 sacks, 13 sacks. You know, we had a year with at least five, six guys had over 10 sacks. So, you know, that's right now I think we got a guys that all contribute in a good way and we all just playing together.
So Slay talking about the balance.
Sacks by committee.
Sacks by committee. It's different. If they beat the Ravens this week and they keep winning and they reel off 14, 15 wins, by the end of the season, I might say, you know what? They actually are better. I'm not ready to say it right now. 215-592-9494. Hugh's ready to say it today. This team is better than the team 2 years ago. I'm not there yet, although I see some evidence where we might be moving that direction. Kyle, where do you come down on this? 2022 versus 2024. Are you ready to say this team's better?
Joe, this is a growth moment for me. I think I'm ready.
Wow.
He said a growth moment.
I'm ready to say it. They're better than the 2022 team. It comes down to the defense for me. Like, I understand that they broke the sack record in that year in 2022. And that was a lot of fun. But, like, I just think what gets lost in the conversation about that year's defense is, we got to be honest, every time they faced a good quarterback, they got diced up. Like, Dak Prescott carved them up. Patrick Mahomes carved them up. And they didn't really have too many other opportunities where they faced a good quarterback that year. They beat up on a lot of bad quarterbacks. This season, while they're not doing the sack thing, the strength of the team is the back seven. And that's why I feel like they're going to be able to withstand the loss of Brandon Graham more than I think it's being let on. And, like, they're taking it to these good teams. They're also blowing teams out. So it really comes down to the defense for me and the offense. I know we had a better passing game that year, but I think what we're not talking about is that this offense has the experience of that year. They have the experience of last season and how that ended. I just think this team's more equipped to go on a deep postseason run and face the really good competition than that 2022 team was. I'm ready to say it.
They might be. I'm also comparing the schedules a little bit. I mean, we could be real about it. Both teams got to play some teams that weren't very good. That's kind of the route you do sometimes to win 12, 13, 14 games. But we'll see by the time this season ends how many wins they have over playoff teams. I think they had wins over four playoff teams, four or five, and tried to do the math in my head back in 2022. 215-592-9494. It's just, for me, Hugh, they are a better running team, right? And you can make a case their offensive line might be just as good, even though Kelsey's not here as it was 2 years ago, or similar. The one thing for me is that team got after the quarterback and threw the ball better than this team. This team is really good. It's just different.
Yeah. I just feel like with Saquon, like watching that game Sunday night, there was a conscious effort. With eight-man fronts, nine-man fronts sometimes.
Five on the front line there.
Yes.
They tried everything.
There was a conscious effort to stop the running game. I mean, like any team does. Like going into it, you say, hey, okay, we'll beat you up front. We're going to try to stop Saquon. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it to the tune of 250 yards, 300 all-purpose yards. So much so that the conversation in one game has shifted from – should he carry the ball like he's getting too many carries? Damn it, just let him carry it as much as
he
wants.
Let him go break the rushing record.
That's how much it's changed because he's the juggernaut right now. He's unstoppable. Like, there's nothing. This team had a whole shift the other night in everything that they did. They went out there and they played a physical game, so much so that I talked to Jordan Mailata last night. We were talking about off the air and on the air about his matchup with Jared Verse and how much he respected him. And I was telling him that, you know, most people didn't see the battle that was going on because he was out there little boying cats. And Jared was the one that challenged him, and he respected him for that. But the bottom line is they were challenged across the board physically, and they imposed their will on the best defensive line that they're going to see, and they made them submit.
They did.
Right there on television. You don't know how powerful that is. Like, as a defensive lineman, the one thing that you never want to happen to you is to get beat up physically up front like that and have somebody score a rushing touchdown at the goal line on you. That's when you're supposed to bow your neck, and that's the one thing that most defensive linemen don't want to happen to them. They did both.
They did it all. I mean, they did
both.
It is a similarity between the two teams. I mean, they just beat the crap out of you up front. 215-592-9494. Are you ready to say this year's team, 2024 Eagles, is better than 2022? It's a great team. I just keep thinking back 2 years ago, though. Like, you know, the one loss they had the first 2 months, right, was the Commanders game. That was in 2022. And that game, if my memory serves, Kyle, there was a weird fumble by Quez Watkins.
Yeah.
Like, they were this close to being undefeated with Jalen Hurts before he got hurt.
Like an interception off of Goddard's foot, too.
Yeah,
it was so weird. Yeah.
Like, and then they were 13. They were 13-1 when Hurts got hurt, and then they lost two in a row without him.
They dominated.
They dominated. Like, they were this close to being undefeated in heading into Week 15 when Hurts got hurt. Like that team was great.
I remember. It's just so like, and I know I'm going to sound like I'm diminishing what that defense did.
And 76!
I know. But, like, that defense sort of had one formula, right? That was our offense got out to big leads, which you can say is a plus for the 2022 team. They jumped on you real quick. And that defense just pinned their ears back and started going after the quarterback. This defense can beat you in any way. Any way. I mean, our offense has been stuck in mud in first halves all season long, and it's the defense that's carrying them out of that. Like, I don't remember that being the case for the 2022 team. They didn't necessarily have to. But again, like, think about how you felt when you went up against a good offense or a good quarterback. You were like, I still don't know. And that's a weird thing to say about a team that racked up as many sacks as they did. And honestly, I think a lot has to do with the fact that we have Vic Fangio now, a more experienced coordinator who can change his game plan every single week for every quarterback. I just trust him more.
Well,
I trust the defense more.
We have the real thing now, right? Like, we have the actual guy that created this defense.
We had the fake Fangio.
Yeah, we did. We had fake Fangio. 215-592-9494. Let's go to the phone lines here. Are you ready? Well, it's a growth moment for all of us. And you don't have to be ready. I mean, you could be holding back. I'm not quite ready to go there.
Seems like you're ready. No, that might not be a good song.
No, not today. Not right now.
Not R. Kelly. Okay. That just, I forgot.
Yeah. Walk that one back?
Yeah, walk that one back. I apologize for R. Kelly.
215-592-9494. Are you ready to say this year's team is better than the 2022 Eagles? Chris in Middletown is up. Hey, Chris.
Happy Turkey Tuesday, man.
It is a Turkey Tuesday. We're a lot of turkeys around here. What's up, Chris?
Speaking of a turkey, your producer, man.
Total turkey.
He's bullying me right out the gate.
Total turkey, Kyle.
Kyle's an idiot. He's mean. Listen, guys, it's very clear. It's very evident to everybody except Joe, because I guess his glasses need to be adjusted or something.
Maybe I need new glasses. I mean, that could be. Maybe I'm not seeing it the right way. Go ahead.
They're definitely better in 2022, Joe. You guys touched on a few things. It's the balance. It's balance in so many aspects of the team. Balance on offense. We have the number one rushing offense in the NFL. We are number five in total offense in the NFL. And yeah, the pass offense is probably like around 20, but that's simply because, again, we have the number one rush offense, and we're getting ahead. We're finishing games. We're closing it out. Not only that, when we need to, we could lean onto the you ready? The number one total defense in the NFL. With the Eagles. I mean, defense matters, so they can shut games out. Like, the balance, I have never seen an Eagles team that looks this way, where any given day when you get in trouble, if the run starts to struggle, Jalen can unleash a couple bombs to A.J. and A.J. makes a play, or Smitty comes up and makes a one-handed touchdown in the end zone. I mean, it's all kinds of stuff. So that's what's going on. Now, guys, my cause for concern is when we're talking about turkeys, right? I think Slay's cooked. Slay is no longer the number one cornerback on this team. I believe he is the number four cornerback on this team. Quinyon is by far ahead of him.
You guys wonder why I bully people.
I would say Cooper DeJean above him is playing better than him, and Rodgers is playing better than him.
I would take Quinyon and Cooper are better players right now. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Man, we're not about listen.
But I still I need Slay out there more than I thought I would when the season started. I was ready to trade him away.
About to put Slay out the pasture.
Yeah, now, I will say this, Chris, and we hope he gets better quickly from the concussion.
Definitely.
That's because obviously that's not a joking matter. But he's got to be able to.
He was playing pretty good, man. He just got hurt.
But it just feels like we're in that realm of his career now, Chris, where every other play he's limping around.
Did we watch what happened to Isaiah Rodgers when Darius Slay went out?
And Slay, like, man, to his credit,
he's having a really good season, man.
And he stepped up to the plate and he was tackling. I know he got a lot of heat last year when people were talking about how he didn't want to tackle. Man, he got hurt trying to tackle. He got hurt laying a hit. Now he caught more than he gave, but he stuck his nose in there, man. You got to commend him for that. So he was balling.
I'm not saying he's not trying. I'm just saying
he cooked.
Father Time is catching up, and you've said this before. He'll give it his all, but his all now manifests in him being able to be his former self on 2 or 3 out of 10 plays. And then other than that, he's grabbing guys. He's getting pass interference.
He's banged up. I mean, I think it's a concern moving forward because they still need him. I'm not quite with you that
he's
totally
not getting cooked out there.
No, he's not. And definitely not.
But he is off. Forget the concussion.
He goes
he's
out every
on
now
and
then.
Off the field.
Yeah, he definitely
he's
does
banged
that.
Up all the time. And that's another thing for me. The depth on that team in 22 was incredible, right? Dickerson was a backup. Or not Dickerson. Juergens was a backup on that team on the offensive line. They had backups. Nakobe Dean was a backup. This thing is maybe more star driven. There's more stars on this team. They're not quite as deep. I mean, Hugh, I'm very curious how they get after the quarterback without Brandon Graham. I know he was in studio this morning. We're going to replay some of what he said to Joe and John, and he got emotional this morning as I think it's all kind of hitting Brandon Graham now that his season is over, and we'll see. Hopefully, if he wants to, he continues his career. But that team in 22 had a ton of depth. This team, that depth's going to be tested now. I mean, this pass rush without Brennan Graham, it's going to be tested. OG Wade's up. What's up, OG?
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
Hey, OG. What's up, buddy? What are you thinking on this today?
Great, great topic, man. I think that this team here is better than the 22 team. And the reason being, as great as a defense that sack-wise that we said we had in 22 – no one is putting them up there with the great defenses. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We never attempted to do that because it was really manufactured. You know what I'm saying? Meaning that we went up against a lot of bad quarterbacks, a lot of bad O-lines that was able to compile those type of stats. When you look at the team that we have today, this team is dominant up front on both sides of the ball. Whereas though, remember in 22, we had nobody getting double teamed on the defensive line. Now, Jalen Carter is being double-teamed on every play. That is so special to have a player like that that demands that type of attention. It's only going to open up for everything around him. So Jalen Carter is the key to this defense, but he's making everybody on the defense better.
Got that cricket.
Yeah, right now, plays going downhill. The linebackers we had then was catch linebackers. They wait for tackles to come to them. Whereas though we are attacking the ball. And like I said, the OG Wade 4-point system will win us every game. That's our O-line against anybody's D-line, our D-line against anybody's O-line. Our rushing game, we'll rush the ball more effectively than any team, and the quarterback turn the ball over the least. If you look at that, that's your winning formula, you know, because worst-case scenario, we'll go 2-2 there instead of 4-0. You know what I'm saying? I know we ain't losing the rushing game. I know we ain't losing that, you know, and I know we ain't losing the O-line battle. So I think this team here, man, is just – and collectively, Joe, there's no, like – everybody on this team, it's taking all of them to give us these wins right now, and they doing it very good. I was very skeptical about the defense until we played the Rams, and the Rams is better – team right now is better than any team we played in 22. And when we was able to do what we did to that defense and the Rams offense on Sunday night, that capped it for me.
Well, that was a big one. Well, you add that to what they did last week, and OG, we appreciate it, to a Commanders team that, although they're leaking oil, it's obviously they have some talent there. I wouldn't go as far as to say that the Eagles just beat a team in the Rams better than any team they beat in 22. I mean, or played in 22. They did play the Cowboys on Christmas Eve that year. That Dallas team won 12 games. I mean, that was a challenging game.
I mean, it was a challenge. This team was challenging for this season,
yeah.
Especially when you talk about the front. You know, because I guess the rival front would probably be Tampa.
So far this season, within this season,
yeah,
I would agree with that.
It's unfortunate, but we have to start looking at this season for exactly what it is. Quarterback play around the league is kind of down.
Well, and so
we have to look at it from a different prism.
This happens a lot in the NFL, where you get to beat up on a lot of bad teams. Doesn't mean you're not good, right? But you don't really know until you see the few good ones there are out there.
Yeah.
And we just saw one with Stafford, obviously, and then we'll see one with the Ravens this coming week. 215-592-9494. All right, it's a growth moment for all of us. Let's see where you're at. Are you ready to say today, because we've all agreed now this is a Super Bowl contender. We've moved past our doubt on how good they are. This team's really, really good. Like, we got a tremendous Eagles team this year. Are you ready to say they're better than the team 2 years ago that made the Super Bowl? 215-592-9494. I'm not quite ready to go there. Hugh's there. Kyle had a growth moment. He went there today. Where do you come down?
Growth.
We'll get to all your phone calls here. The discussion on Saquon and his case for the NFL MVP. Plus, we have a prize to give away. We'll play some Hugh's Clues next on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
guys, that was unbelievable defense. That was unbelievable on offense. Franchise record for Saquon, 255 yards. Yeah. Now, hey, listen to me. Listen. I want to keep it at this. Everybody watched that game. And everyone's calling you and telling you how f***ing good you are. We have not done Put your head down and work. It's the work that's got us here. You guys have been playing your ass off, and it's the work that's got us here.
Oh, listen to that locker room after a big night on Sunday night. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillie, you guys with us, 215-592-949. I forgot a prize giveaway. We'll tell you all about it coming up in a few minutes. But I like that. You know what you could hear in that locker room, Hugh? You could hear those guys want to get Saquon those yards. They probably want to get him that MVP. That was a big roar there from Nick Sirianni, from the crowd or the players, when Nick Sirianni said, Saquon got the franchise record. You heard that roar there. They love it.
Yeah, man, it's an exciting time. You know, it's funny. I saw a video the other day of, Zach Bond and N'Kobe Dean, mm-hmm. sit on the sideline, and they were talking about, they was like, I guess Zach said something about Saquon's about to do something special, and he did. I think that was when he ripped off, if I'm not mistaken, the second 70-yard run. Man, it's infectious. When you have a guy that you want to play hard and you want to do well because you want to put him in position to see what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. I remember when I played with the Jets. And this might sound bad, but we used to get off the field on defense. We playing the Buffalo Bills, and I wanted to see what Bruce Smith was going to do. I used to watch Bruce Smith play, and I remember one play, and it's an infamous play where Everett McGiver, my teammate at the time, he was talking trash to Bruce. He was calling Bruce all kinds of names.
How'd that work out?
And Bruce looking like I remember Bruce looking around like, who is he talking to? Man, the next play. Bruce got off the ball so fast. He beat Everett out of his stance, and he hit Boomer so hard in his chest that Boomer was in the fetal position.
Oh, no.
For like 5 minutes. We thought he was dead. He didn't fumble. I'll never forget it because it was like I still remember that moment in my head, but that's the kind of player Saquon is. You want to get off the field, and you want to be in the best seat possible to see what this man's going to do next. Especially after the week he had against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, it's every week. He's must-see football. He's brought back a time, dare I say, when Walter Payton used to run the ball, Sweetness used to touch the rock, and everybody wanted to see Sweetness run the ball.
Barry Sanders.
Earl Campbell, like them old-school running backs like that. Man, there might be a paradigm shift in the way that we look at running backs now because of what he's done.
Well, him and Henry.
That might be a little bit hyperbole, huh?
No.
Sound good, though. I mean, it sounds like I might be on to something
here. I think you might be.
Trying to get ahead of this thing.
Well, to be fair, the Eagles might have been ahead of it. And we just
–
Now we're seeing the dividends, right? Like they paid Saquon. But you might be right, Hugh. I mean, this might be coming where more teams will pay for running backs or sign them. I mean, the three biggest backs signed in free agency this past year all are having immense success, right? Saquon, Derrick Henry, and Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs doesn't get the kind of pub the other two get, but he's had a really nice year for a good team in Green Bay. So there is something to that. 215-592-9494. Also, let's listen to Jalen Hurts talk about this team and kind of staying grounded and thinking big picture and learning from the past.
This was the point of this season last year with things started to turn. How much better do you feel about the situation in your place this year right now?
We're still growing. You know, I say, you know, in terms of my mentality, it's no different than trying to get better. I'm not satisfied. You know, we're not satisfied. I wasn't satisfied in the past. I'm not satisfied now. And I think we have last year to learn from players and coaches and how we approach certain situations. But now, it's just a day-by-day grind, you know. I'm not going to get too high, get too low. We're going to appreciate the moment. We're going to look at what we did and what we were able to accomplish, and then we're going to look at how we can be better at it. And I think I've said it before, you know, being able to learn from our mistakes, we can't be foolish and not do that.
So, Hugh, one of the things, and I know you're on the side that this really is a better team than 2 years ago. One of the things that does strike me is they might just be more prepared for it, right? Because that team 2 years ago kind of came out of nowhere. Pretty young team. It was Jalen, second year as a starter. AJ, a young player. Devontae, a young player. Sirianni, a young coach. This is their second time now looking like a legitimate Super Bowl team. Maybe they're just more prepared, you know, compared to 2 years ago.
I don't know about that, Joe. I think it's Saquon. Saquon has, to me, watching him play and the way that this offensive line is blocking it, and it's funny because now I'm thinking back about at the bye when they went in the office and said, hey, we need to run the ball. And Coach Sirianni was open to that idea.
The meeting that changed the season?
Yes. Joe, there hasn't been a week since Saquon has been popping off 100-yard games every week that we've played a team that has been in ample position to even slow him down. Think about that for a minute.
When was the last time he had under 100 yards? Was it the Browns game in week 5,
maybe,
right after the bye?
Maybe.
I'm trying to think. I mean, obviously he ran all over the Jaguars. That's the game he did the backwards hurdle. The Cowboys game, did he get there in the Cowboys game? Because they kind of pulled back in the Cowboys game a little bit.
The Browns one might have been one.
The Browns was definitely one. I think he only had 64 yards that day. That stood out to me.
Maybe the Bengals? I don't know. I remember they threw it a lot in that game.
They did throw, and they were up late. But if I had to guess right now, I would say two games under 100 this year.
18 carries in that game against the Browns for 47 yards.
Okay, so that was the Browns one. That was a lesser game by his
standards. Giants, that's when he started to go. He started, you know, show his ass.
Giants game, completely.
176.
I think
the Bengals game.
I think it's just two games this year under 100 yards.
108. Yeah. But the bottom line is this. From that Giants game on, watching the film, most people say, hey, you got to stop 2-6. Like, he's the guy. He's the straw that stirs the drink. You stop him, you know, Jalen's not throwing. Just hypothetically, I don't want nobody to be all up in their feelings, but they say hypothetically, you know, we stop 2-6, make one beat you. Make him be the guy that beat you. Haven't been able to do that. Have not been able to do that. You do not know how powerful that is. Going, like, just thinking back when I played, going into team meetings, looking at the big board, the number one thing that we wanted to do every Sunday, take away the run. Less than 100 yards rushing. Saquon Barkley is breaking teams' backs with the running game.
Well, and even when you think you have him for 3, 4, 5 in a row, he breaks the 50-yarder, and then you're dead. I mean, like, he's done that. So it's crazy to me how many explosive runs he's had. Because the run game, typically, Hugh, it's not an explosive play, right? It's more of a methodical, move the chains kind of, you know, even the good runners, right? They'll run for 6 or 7 or 8, whatever. Maybe they'll break a 15 once in a while. But he breaks 50, 70 yarders. So it's rare running backs do that.
They take great pride. And this is what, this is why when I was talking to Jordan last night, I could feel it and I could see it in his eyes because he was still, like, if he had to play yesterday, he was ready to go. He really, really was. They take great pride, especially him, in mauling people.
Yeah, and they should, because they're
mauling people to the level, Joe, where they're getting to the second level. They're beating up linebackers. That's the beautiful part about this running game right now is that linebackers, the way that they're getting to the second level, go watch the film. They're not even in position to get a lick on Saquon Barkley.
No, they're getting knocked over.
I think it was the second run when Mike was like, look, he shot out of a cannon. Dude, in the way that he's coming off of blocks, like the block is being made as I use my hands to reference what I'm trying to show and can nobody see it because we're on radio. But the fact that when the block comes, he's right behind the block.
And then he's deciding left, right, go.
And then he's gone. And then, you know, this morning we're looking at it, right? This dude weighed 230 pounds, 34 pounds.
Well, to see a guy that can move like him on a cut on a dime.
And he's outrunning everybody.
It's remarkable. He's a remarkable athlete. 215-592-9494. Are you ready to say this Eagles team is better than the 2022 Super Bowl team? Early returns here on the Midday Show poll, very split. 52% on no, 48% on yes. Are you ready? Will in the Northeast. What's up, Will?
Dream Team, how y'all doing today?
What up, hey, Mike? Will.
Oh, man, listen, man. I've been saying it ever since the Super Bowl. You know, we needed the power back. We needed the back to wear the teams down. We needed that. And now we got that. And now you see the success that we do have. The thing, I know everybody kept saying, running the ball, run. No, it's not just running the ball. You got to have a special type of back to run that ball. And you see what it's taking the teams to do. They don't know how to adjust to him. Not only he's wearing them down, but he's plowing them too. So, you know, even with Derrick Henry, like, right, let me just say this. Derrick Henry,
it's crazy.
What's the name that's using them wrong? That's why, you know, if you notice, when they don't run Derrick Henry, they lose the game.
They ran him last night. They used him last night a good amount.
Right. And they ran a Saquon, and I like that. But what I want to say is this, and then y'all can cut me. When we go up, and hopefully it will be the Kansas City Chiefs, right? When we go up against them, right,
mm-hmm.
I want the team and I want our coach to know that we're not only playing the team, we're playing the refs too. Because there's no way that these guys should be winning any of these games. Y'all can say what y'all want, but I call it like it is. They is scraping by with the referees.
Call it like it is.
That's all I got.
Well, they have scraped by. Will, we appreciate it, man.
Running them down and plowing them.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Oof, that's a lot.
It's a lot for 10:42 in the morning. All right, 215-592-9494. Before we go any further, we do have a prize to give away today. A pair of tickets to see the Big Five Classic at the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia on Saturday, December 7th. Each of the city's Division I basketball teams battling for bragging rights in a one-day triple header. You get three games where one school will be crowned champion. Tickets on sale, BigFiveClassic.co. You can also win them here with a little game we like to call Hughes Clues.
Have you seen my dog, Hugh? He's got a brand new clue. It begins with a tramp stamp. Everybody's looking for Hughes Clues. Come on in, come on in. Hughes Clues. It's Hughes Clues and you.
So I got a lot of heat the last time we did this. People say, Hugh, you're making the clues too hard. They're too ambiguous. And I'm like, hold up, dog. I think I give out some good clues. So this week, I'll make it a little bit easier for y'all. So this is the first clue. This first clue is that this is a holiday tradition.
You think you're real funny over here, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, all right. All right, Hugh's first clue today. It's a holiday tradition.
And my DMs and my Twitter about to blow up with mean and hurtful tweets in 3, 2, 1.
Boom. All right, 215-592-9494. For holiday tradition is the first clue today for Hugh's Clues. We'll get your guesses up here. Winner today gets a pair of tickets to the Big Five Classic on December 7th. All right, let's go to Skyler over in New Jersey. What's up, Skyler?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Skyler. What's
up, Skyler?
Not much. So do I have to answer the question first, or can I talk birds first?
Let's talk birds.
Do what you want to do, Skyler. This is your world right now. Go for it. It's the holiday.
What are you thinking here? Are you ready to say today this team's better than 2022?
Right now, I say no. I'm actually going to the game on Sunday in Baltimore, so my answer might be changing come Monday morning. Just because the reason I say that is I just think – since that Buffalo game last year, I just don't know if I could, like, be able to trust Hurts in, like, a playoff shootout. I think he's been phenomenal at what he's done this year in terms of managing the game and taking control of the offense. And that's probably the biggest thing you need in your quarterback. But if we have to go to Detroit in Ford Field in, January, right now I'm not confident in saying that, you know, he can win a shootout. But with that being said, I think run game does travel in the playoffs. And I think that with Saquon and what he's been able to do, I think it's been pretty stellar. And I think, that definitely helps us out in that sense to take some of the pressure off Jalen. But that's my answer for that. And then just a quick question for you before I get let go. Vic Fangio has done a phenomenal job, but he let up 56 points to this Lamar Jackson-led offense last year when Miami played Baltimore. Obviously, I think our defense a lot more talented, a lot better than Miami's defense last year, but 56 points is a lot of points in the NFL. Do you think some of the scheme is going to cause some issues this week?
Skyler, that's a good question. I remember when the Eagles brought in Fangio, we kind of referenced like, hey, he did a pretty good job in Miami, but they did fall apart at the end last year.
They didn't like him.
And they didn't like him. Now, Skyler, one thing I will point out that I think is fair to bring up with that team you mentioned last year, it's also kind of, you know, symbolic right now going on with the Eagles. They lost a lot of their edge rushers around Thanksgiving last year. Jalen Phillips, like they got decimated by injuries right before that.
That's when they were trying to call JPP and them cats come in, right?
Right. And then so by the time they played Baltimore in the game you're referencing, they were kind of decimated. Now, you could say we're becoming that a little bit, right? No Brandon Graham. Not that Bryce Huff was doing much, but they're down another body there. So I think it's a great test, Skyler. I'm with you in that this game Sunday is going to go a long way if I'm ready to say they're better than 2022. If they go to Baltimore and win this game on Sunday and win it by convincingly and look good on defense, Skyler, I might come in here Monday and say they're going to win the whole thing. Like this might be like a tipping point kind of game.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, what's your guess for Hughes Clue, Skyler? What do you got?
So holiday tradition, I'm going to go with breaking a wishbone on Thanksgiving.
For who?
I'm going to do it this Thursday, and I get the bigger half, I'm going to wish for a bird Super Bowl.
Oh, I like that, Skyler. There you go.
You've never heard of breaking a wishbone?
Come on, Hugh.
No, not as a tradition. I mean, I've seen it.
Why else would you do it?
Because you're making a wish. It's a wishbone.
Like traditionally?
No, I mean like, okay, if I find a wishbone in a piece of chicken, I'm going to break the wishbone and make a wish.
What do you do with the turkey on Thanksgiving?
I did not know that was a tradition.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, it's the one time where like everybody's making a giant bird and everyone will have a wishbone.
See, the sarcasm in your voice is like, that's uncalled for.
I think
it was
a good answer to it.
No.
I'm annoyed that you don't know that that's a tradition.
I did not know. So that's a tradition.
Yes. Yeah.
To break the wishbone on Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I ain't never did that. I'm sorry. I didn't know that was
the
thing.
You don't have
to
apologize.
No, I'm saying because I felt like I've been attacked. Kyle is attacking me over here.
Well, you were kind of attacking Skyler's answer.
No, this is a joke, quite frankly. I just didn't know, and I was trying to understand. I was trying to get clarity.
Okay.
Then Kyle, Mr. Smarty Pants over here, wants to get all Smarty Pants.
The bracket of Kyle, Smarty Pants Quinn. All right, so I think what Skyler said there is something that's in the back of all of our minds, right?
What's that?
Well, if the game goes off script and it becomes a shootout and they have to throw more, we haven't seen it, and we keep waiting for this, and it hasn't had to happen yet, but the question is, can Jalen throw them back into a game? They're down.
I'll say to that, I just sat here and did a whole spiel about every team that we've played that they haven't been able to successfully stop the run yet, outside the Cleveland Browns. The Detroit Lions defensive line is not that great when you talk about.
It's pretty good.
Well, they're not. Who would you say, and we haven't played them, but on paper right now, who do you say would be the bigger challenge? The line that they played this weekend or the line in Detroit?
Probably this one they just played with the Rams.
And they mauled them.
The Detroit one has more vets. I'm not sure if that makes a big difference. This one was young and talented.
But, man, and I hear what you're saying, Skyler. But this offensive line, man, they're a better run-blocking team than the one that was in 22.
Let me present it in a different way. Because your point is fair that no one has stopped this run yet. Why should we think anyone's going to? But, Hugh, what if they can't just run? And what I mean by that is they're down 17 or 14 fast. You have to throw the ball. Like, it just takes more time to run, right? You can't just wait for the home run in the fourth quarter. It feels like they've won a certain way. And maybe they can the whole season. But I think it's fair in the back of people's mind to say, what if they get down 14 and they have to throw?
Because this is a passing league.
Yeah, right.
I get that. But I'll push back a little bit and say this. This is also a copycat league. And the last couple weeks, teams have been trying to figure out the number one priority with this team right now is to stop the run. Haven't been able to do it. 9 men in the box, 8 men in the box, 10 men in the box, whatever. Haven't been able to do it. The one thing that I know about the NFL, they're going to run something until you stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody stopped it yet. Nobody stopped it yet.
Can I give you a comp? Because I keep wondering this, right? It's in the back of my mind. What do they do if they're in a shootout? What do they do if they're...
No, I mean, and that's legit.
But can I give you an example of a team that was able to win with a running game and a defense, and it never really happened?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that long ago. I'm not going back to the 1990s or 1980s. Hugh, that team that won the Super Bowl in Seattle with Russell Wilson. Remember the Legion of Boom?
Yeah, and Marshawn Lynch.
Right,
yeah.
So that team never had to do it. They were a run-first defense team.
And he was a beast.
And they ran all the way to the Super Bowl, and their defense carried them. So in the three playoff games, here's how many points they give up in their three playoff games. That Seattle team that year. 15 in the divisional round, 17 in the NFC Championship game, and 8 in the Super Bowl. They never had to do it. I mean, sometimes, like, this could happen. If I had to guess, I think at some point they're going to have to throw to win a game, whether it be against the Lions or the Chiefs in a Super Bowl, whatever. But maybe, I mean, maybe I'm wrong on this, and it's like the 2013 Seahawks, and they run and defense their way to a Super Bowl.
No, I think what you're saying is legit worry, but like I just said, ain't nobody has been able to stop them yet.
The question would be this. Let's say they're down, I'm just playing a scenario, 14 to the Lions early. Do they keep running and just trust the game will settle down? Or do they say, bleep, we're down 2 scores, we got to throw?
So basically you're saying that if they play the Lions that, okay, say scenario they played out, they kick the ball off, the Lions come down.
Touchdown.
They get a touchdown.
Eagles get stopped, Lions score again. Do they flip the script or do they stick with, like, I don't know how they'd react in that scenario. We haven't seen it.
I understand the scenario you're asking me, but I don't see the personnel for the Detroit Lions being able to stymie this offense twice enough to put them in a position to be up 14 points. And not trying to be difficult, but I just don't see that. They're creating enough, and I know a lot of times that Coach Moore does things that makes people pull their hair out early in the game, but he's been pretty innovative in those first couple series to help put them in position to score, though. I will give him that. Now, it's been a little bit of a tough sledding as far as, you know, getting that first touchdown, but he's put them in position to score.
It doesn't necessarily, like, just to play devil's advocate, because I am on your side, Hugh, it doesn't just have to be the defense that is the reason that the Eagles are down early in a game,
sure,
right?
Like, could be a fumble.
Could be a turnover, a bad special teams something like that. Right?
I know what,
like,
you're saying.
You could find yourself in a 14-0 hole, and we're not necessarily pissed off the defense.
In a pickle. Yeah. I understand what you're saying.
And then you just wonder, can they throw their way back in? 215-592-9494. Look, these are good problems to have. Right? We're talking about a 9-2 team, and we're wondering how they'll react in an NFC Championship game. Like, this is it's a good problem to have. Are you ready to say right now, this team's better than the team that made the Super Bowl 2 years ago? 215-592-9494. All right, coming up next, more on Saquon Barkley, the season he's having, which feels like an all-timer. I'm going to try to rank here what I think are the greatest individual seasons by an Eagle. Your calls on this. We'll see where I put Saquon here. Are you ready to say this team is better than the 2022 team? And your guesses on Hugh's Clues. First clue today, holiday tradition. 215-592-9494. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. This Thanksgiving, we're serving up epic football moments with FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if you win. The FanDuel app serves up all the ingredients you need to place live bets, same game parlays, and so much more. Plus, when you win, you get paid instantly. Just visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to join today and get started with $150 in bonus bets if you win your first $5 bet. That's FanDuel.com/GIGLIO. Make this Thanksgiving extra special with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.
Yes. That was unbelievable defense. That was unbelievable on offense. Franchise record for Saquon, 255 yards. Now, hey, listen to me. Listen. I want to keep it at this. Everybody watched that game. And everyone's calling you and telling you how f***ing good you are. We have not done shit.
Nope.
Put your head down and work. It's the work that's got us here. You guys have been playing your ass off, and it's the work that's got us here.
Listen to that locker room after a big night on Sunday night. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilly, you guys with us, 215-592-949. I forgot a prize giveaway. We'll tell you all about it coming up in a few minutes. But I like that. You know what you could hear in that locker room, Hugh? You could hear those guys want to get Saquon those yards. They probably want to get him that MVP. That was a big roar there from Nick Sirianni, from the crowd or the players, when Nick Sirianni said, Saquon got the franchise record. You heard that roar there. They love it.
Yeah, man, it's an exciting time. You know, it's funny. I saw a video the other day of Zach Bond and N'Kobe Dean, mm-hmm. sit on the sideline, and they were talking about, they was like, I guess Zach said something about Saquon's about to do something special, and he did. I think that was when he ripped off, if I'm not mistaken, the second 70-yard run. Man, it's infectious. When you have a guy that you want to play hard and you want to do well because you want to put him in position to see what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. I remember when I played with the Jets. And this might sound bad, but we used to get off the field on defense. We played the Buffalo Bills, and I wanted to see what Bruce Smith was going to do. I used to watch Bruce Smith play. And I remember one play, and it's an infamous play where Everett McGiver, my teammate at the time, he was talking trash to Bruce. He was calling Bruce all kinds of names.
How'd that work out?
And Bruce looking like, I remember Bruce looking around, like, who is he talking to? Who is he talking to? Man, the next play. Bruce got off the ball so fast. He beat Everett out of his stance, and he hit Boomer so hard in his chest that Boomer was in the fetal position.
Oh, no.
For like 5 minutes. We thought he was dead. He didn't fumble. I'll never forget it because it was like I still remember that moment in my head. But that's the kind of player Saquon is. You want to get off the field, and you want to be in the best seat possible to see what this man's going to do next. Especially after the week he had against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, it's every week. He's must-see football. He's must-see football. He's brought back a time, dare I say, when Walter Payton used to run the ball, Sweetness used to touch the rock, and everybody wanted to see Sweetness run the ball.
Barry Sanders.
Earl Campbell, like them old-school running backs like that. Man, there might be a paradigm shift in the way that we look at running backs now because of what he's done.
Well, him and Henry.
That might be a little bit hyperbole, huh?
No.
Sound good, though. I mean, it sounds like I might be on to something here.
I think you might be.
Trying to get ahead of this thing.
Well, to be fair, the Eagles might have been ahead of it. And we just
–
Now we're seeing the dividends, right? Like they paid Saquon. But you might be right, Hugh. I mean, this might be coming where more teams will pay for running backs or sign them. I mean, the three biggest backs signed in free agency this past year all are having immense success, right? Saquon, Derrick Henry, and Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs doesn't get the kind of pub the other two get, but he's had a really nice year for a good team in Green Bay. So there is something to that. 215-592-9494. Also, let's listen to Jalen Hurts talk about this team and kind of staying grounded and thinking big picture and learning from the past.
This was the point of this season last year with things started to turn. How much better do you feel about the situation in your place this year right now?
We're still growing. You know, I say, you know, in terms of my mentality, it's no different than trying to get better. I'm not satisfied. You know, we're not satisfied. I wasn't satisfied in the past. I'm not satisfied now. And I think we have last year to learn from players and coaches and how we approach certain situations. But now, it's a day-by-day grind, you know. I'm not going to get too high, get too low. We're going to appreciate the moment. We're going to look at what we did and what we're able to accomplish, and then we're going to look at how we can be better at it. And I think if I've said it before, you know, being able to learn from our mistakes, we can't be foolish and not do that.
So, Hugh, one of the things, and I know you're on the side that this really is a better team than 2 years ago. One of the things that does strike me is they might just be more prepared for it, right? Because that team 2 years ago kind of came out of nowhere. Pretty young team. It was Jalen second year as a starter. AJ, a young player. Devontae, a young player. Sirianni, a young coach. This is their second time now looking like a legitimate Super Bowl team. Maybe they're just more prepared, you know, compared to 2 years ago.
I don't know about that, Joe. I think it's Saquon. Saquon has, to me, watching him play and the way that this offensive line is blocking it, and it's funny because now I'm thinking back about at the bye when they went in the office and said, hey, we need to run the ball. And Coach Sirianni was open to that idea.
The meeting that changed the season?
Yes. Joe, there hasn't been a week since Saquon has been popping off 100-yard games every week that we've played a team that has been in ample position to even slow him down. Think about that for a minute.
When was the last time he had under 100 yards? Was it the Browns game in week 5,
maybe,
right after the bye?
Maybe.
I'm trying to think. I mean, obviously, he ran all over the Jaguars. That's the game he did the backwards hurdle. The Cowboys game, did he get there in the Cowboys game? Because they kind of pulled back in the Cowboys game a little bit.
The Browns one might have been one.
The Browns was definitely one. I think he only had 64 yards that day. That stood out to
me. Maybe the Bengals? I don't know. I remember they threw it a lot in that game.
They did throw, and they were up late. But if I had to guess right now, I would say two games under 100 this year.
18 carries in that game against the Browns for 47 yards.
Okay, so that was the Browns one. That was a lesser game by his
standards. The Giants, that's when he started to go, he started, you know, show his ass. Giants game,
completely.
176.
I think
the Bengals game.
I think it's just two games this year under 100 yards.
108, yeah. But the bottom line is this. From that Giants game on, watching the film, most people say, hey, you got to stop 2-6. Like, he's the guy. He's the straw that stirs the drink. You stop him, you know, Jalen's not throwing. Just hypothetically, I don't want nobody to be all up in their feelings, but they say hypothetically, you know, we stop 2-6, make one beat you. Make him be the guy that beat you. Haven't been able to do that. Have not been able to do that. You do not know how powerful that is. Going, like, just thinking back when I played, going into team meetings, looking at the big board, the number one thing that we wanted to do every Sunday, take away the run. Less than 100 yards rushing. Saquon Barkley is breaking teams' backs with the running game.
Well, and even when you think you have him for 3, 4, 5 in a row, he breaks the 50-yarder, and then you're dead. I mean, like, he's done that. So it's crazy to me how many explosive runs he's had. Because the run game, typically, Hugh, it's not an explosive play, right? It's more of a methodical, move the chains kind of, you know, even the good runners, right? They'll run for 6 or 7 or 8, whatever. Maybe they'll break a 15 once in a while. But he breaks 50, 70 yarders. So it's rare running backs do that.
They take great pride. And this is what, this is why when I was talking to Jordan last night, I could feel it and I could see it in his eyes because he was still – like, if he had to play yesterday, he was ready to go. He really, really was. They take great pride, especially him, in mauling people.
Yeah, and they should, because they're great at it.
And they're mauling people to the level, Joe, where they're getting to the second level. They're beating up linebackers. That's the beautiful part about this running game right now is that – linebackers, the way that they're getting to the second level, go watch the film. They're not even in position to get a lick on Saquon Barkley.
No, they're getting knocked over.
When I think it was the second run when Mike was like, look, he shot out of a cannon. Dude, the way that he's coming off of blocks, like the block is being made as I use my hands to reference what I'm trying to show and can nobody see it because we're on radio. But the fact that when the block comes, he's right behind the block.
And then he's deciding left, right, go.
And then he's gone. And then, you know, this morning we're looking at it, right? This dude weighed 230 pounds, 34 pounds.
Well, to see a guy that can move like him on a dime.
And he's outrunning everybody.
It's remarkable. He's a remarkable athlete. 215-592-9494. Are you ready to say this Eagles team is better than the 2022 Super Bowl team? Early returns here on the Midday Show poll, very split. 52% on no, 48% on yes. Are you ready? Will in the Northeast. What's up, Will?
Dream Team, how y'all doing today?
What up, hey, man? Will.
Oh, man, listen, man. I've been saying it ever since the Super Bowl. You know, we needed the power back. We needed the back to wear the teams down. We needed that. And now we got that. And now you see the success that we do have. The thing, I know everybody kept saying, running the ball, but no. It's not just running the ball. You got to have a special type of back to run that ball. And you see what it's taking the teams to do. They can't, they don't know how to adjust to him. Not only he's wearing them down, but he's plowing them too. So, you know, even with Derrick Henry, right? Like, let me just say this. Derrick Henry,
it's crazy.
What's the name that's using them wrong? That's why, you know, if you notice, when they don't run Derrick Henry, they lose the game.
They ran him last night. They used him last night a good amount.
Right. And they run a Saquon, and I like that. But what I want to say is this, and then y'all can cut me. When we go up, and hopefully it will be the Kansas City Chiefs, right? When we go up against them, right,
mm-hmm.
I want the team and I want our coach to know that we're not only playing the team, we're playing the refs too. Because there's no way that these guys should be winning any of these games. Y'all can say what y'all want, but I call it like it is. They is scraping by with the referee's head. Like that's all I got.
Well, they have scraped by. Well, we appreciate it, man.
Running them down and plowing them.
Yeah, that's a lot. Oof,
that's a lot.
It's a lot for 10:42 in the morning. All right, 212-15-592-9494. Before we go any further, we do have a prize to give away today. A pair of tickets to see the Big Five Classic at the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia on Saturday, December 7th. Each of the city's Division I basketball teams battling for bragging rights in a one-day triple header. You get three games where one school will be crowned champion. Tickets on sale, BigFiveClassic.co. You can also win them here with a little game we like to call Hugh's Clues.
Have you seen my dog, Hugh? He's got a brand new clue. It begins with a tramp stamp. Everybody's looking for Hugh's Clues. Come on in, come on in. Hugh's Clues. It's Hugh's Clues and you.
So I got a lot of heat the last time we did this. People say, Hugh, you're making the clues too hard. They're too ambiguous. And I'm like, hold up, dog. I think I give out some good clues. So this week, I'll make it a little bit easier for y'all. So this is the first clue. This first clue is that this is a holiday tradition.
You think you're real funny over here, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, all right. All right, Hugh's first clue today. It's a holiday tradition.
And my DMs and my Twitter about to blow up with mean and hurtful tweets in 3, 2, 1.
Boom. All right, 215-592-9494. Holiday tradition is the first clue today for Hugh's Clues. We'll get your guesses up here. Winner today gets a pair of tickets to the Big Five Classic on December 7th. All right, let's go to Skyler over in New Jersey. What's up, Skyler?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Skyler. What's up,
Skyler?
Not much. So do I have to answer the question first, or can I talk birds first?
Let's talk birds.
Do what you want to do, Skyler. This is your world right now.
Let's
go
talk
for
some
it.
Birds.
It's the holiday.
What are you thinking here? Are you ready to say today this team's better than 2022?
Right now, I say no. I'm actually going to the game on Sunday in Baltimore, so my answer might be changing come Monday morning. Just because the reason I say that is I just think – since that Buffalo game last year, I just don't know if I could like be able to trust Hurts in like a playoff shootout. I think he's been phenomenal at what he's done this year in terms of managing the game and taking control of the offense. And that's probably the biggest thing you need in your quarterback. But if we have to go to Detroit, in Ford Field in, January, right now I'm not confident in saying that, you know, he can win a shootout. But with that being said, I think run game does travel in the playoffs. And I think that, with Saquon and what he's been able to do, I think it's been pretty stellar. And I think, that definitely helps us out in that sense to take some of the pressure off Jalen. But that's my answer for that. And then just a quick question for you before, I get let go. Vic Fangio has done a phenomenal job, but he let up 56 points to this Lamar Jackson-led offense last year when Miami played Baltimore. Obviously, I think our defense a lot more talented, a lot better than Miami's defense last year, but 56 points is a lot of points in the NFL. Do you think
some of the scheme is going to cause some issues this week?
Skyler, that's a good question. I remember when the Eagles brought in Fangio, we kind of referenced like, hey, he did a pretty good job in Miami, but they did fall apart at the end last year.
They didn't like him.
And they didn't like him. Now, Skyler, one thing I will point out that I think is fair to bring up with that team you mentioned last year, it's also kind of, you know, symbolic right now going on with the Eagles. They lost a lot of their edge rushers around Thanksgiving last year. Jalen Phillips, like they got decimated by injuries right before that.
That's when they were trying to call JPP and them cats come in, right?
Right. And then so by the time they played Baltimore in the game you're referencing, they were kind of decimated. Now, you could say we're becoming that a little bit, right? No Brandon Graham, not that Bryce Huff was doing much, but they're down another body there. So I think it's a great test, Skyler. I'm with you in that this game Sunday is going to go a long way if I'm ready to say they're better than 2022. If they go to Baltimore and win this game on Sunday and win it by convincingly and look good on defense, Skyler, I might come in here Monday and say they're going to win the whole thing. Like this might be like a tipping point kind of game.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, what's your guess for Hughes Clues, Skyler? What do you got?
So holiday tradition, I'm going to go with breaking a wishbone on Thanksgiving.
Sure.
For who?
I'm going to do it this Thursday, and I get the bigger half, I'm going to wish for a Bird Super Bowl.
Oh, I like that, Skyler. There you go.
You've never heard of breaking a wishbone?
Come on, Hugh.
No, not as a tradition. I mean, I've seen it.
Why else would you do it?
Because you're making a wish. It's a wishbone.
Like traditionally?
No, I mean, like, okay, if I find a wishbone in a piece of chicken, I'm going to break the wishbone and make a wish.
The turkey on Thanksgiving.
I did not know that was a tradition.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, it's the one time where, like, everybody's making a giant bird and everyone will have a wishbone.
See, the sarcasm in your voice is like, that's uncalled for.
I think
it was
a good answer to
no.
You threw I'm annoyed that you don't know that that's a tradition.
So that's a tradition.
Yes. Yeah.
To break the wishbone on Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I ain't never did that. I'm sorry. I didn't know that was
the thing. You don't have to
thing.
Apologize.
No, I'm saying because I felt like I've been attacked. Kyle is attacking me over here.
Well, you were kind of attacking Skyler's answer.
No, I was
this
just,
is
I,
a
no,
joke, quite frankly.
I just didn't know, and I was trying to understand. I was trying to get clarity.
Okay.
Then Kyle, Mr. Smarty Pants over here, wants to get all Smarty Pants.
The bracket of Kyle, Smarty Pants Quinn. All right, so I think what Skyler said there is something that's in the back of all of our minds, right?
What's that?
Well, if the game goes off script and it becomes a shootout and they have to throw more, I mean, we haven't seen it, and we keep waiting for this, and it hasn't had to happen yet, but the question is, can Jalen throw them back into a game? They're down.
I'll say to that, I just sat here and did a whole spiel about every team that we've played that they haven't been able to successfully stop the run yet, outside the Cleveland Browns. The Detroit Lions defensive line is not that great when you talk about.
It's pretty good.
Well, they're not. Who would you say, and we haven't played them, but on paper right now, who do you say would be the bigger challenge? The line that they played this weekend or the line in Detroit?
Probably this one they just played with the Rams.
And they mauled them.
The Detroit one has more vets. I'm not sure if that makes a big difference. This one was young and talented.
But, man, like, and I hear what you're saying, Skyler, but this offensive line, man, they're a better run-blocking team than the one that was in 22.
Let me present it in a different way. Because your point is fair that no one has stopped this run yet. Why should we think anyone's going to? But, Hugh, what if they can't just run? And what I mean by that is they're down 17 or 14 fast. You have to throw the ball. Like, it just takes more time to run, right? You can't just wait for the home run in the fourth quarter. It feels like they've won a certain way. And maybe they can the whole season. But I think it's fair in the back of people's mind to say, what if they get down 14 and they have to throw?
Because this is a passing league.
Yeah, right.
I get that. But I'll push back a little bit and say this. This is also a copycat league. And the last couple weeks, teams have been trying to figure out the number one priority with this team right now is to stop the run. Haven't been able to do it. 9 men in the box, 8 men in the box, 10 men in the box, whatever. Haven't been able to do it. Until and the one thing that I know about the NFL, they're gonna run something till you stop it. Nobody stopped it yet. Nobody stopped it yet.
Can I give you a comp? Because I keep wondering this, right? It's in the back of my mind. What do they do if they're in a shootout? What do they do if they're
no? I mean, and that's legit.
But can I give you an example of a team that was able to win with a running game and a defense, and it never really happened?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that long ago. I'm not going back to the 1990s or 1980s. Hugh, that team that won the Super Bowl in Seattle with Russell Wilson. Remember the Legion of Boom?
Yeah, and Marshawn Lynch.
Right,
yeah.
So that team never had to do it. They were a run-first defense team.
And he was a beast.
And they ran all the way to the Super Bowl, and their defense carried them. So in the three playoff games, here's how many points they gave up in their three playoff games, that Seattle team that year. 15 in the divisional round, 17 in the NFC Championship game, and 8 in the Super Bowl. They never had to do it. I mean, sometimes, like, this could happen. If I had to guess, I think at some point they're going to have to throw to win a game, whether it be against the Lions or the Chiefs in a Super Bowl, whatever. But maybe, I mean, maybe I'm wrong on this, and it's like the 2013 Seahawks, and they run and defense their way to a Super Bowl.
No, I think what you're saying is legit worry, but like I just said, ain't nobody has been able to stop them yet.
The question would be this. Let's say they're down, I'm just playing a scenario out, 14 to the Lions early. Do they keep running and just trust the game will settle down? Or do they say, bleep, we're down two scores, we got to throw?
So basically you're saying that if they play the Lions that, okay, say scenario they played out, they kick the ball off, the Lions come down.
Touchdown.
They get a touchdown.
Eagles get stopped, Lions score again. Do they flip the script or do they stick with, like, I don't know how they'd react in that scenario. We haven't seen it.
I understand the scenario you're asking me, but I don't see the personnel for the Detroit Lions being able to stymie this offense twice enough to put them in a position to be up 14 points. And not trying to be difficult, but I just don't see that. They're creating enough, and I know a lot of times that Coach Moore does things that makes people pull their hair out early in the game, but he's been pretty innovative in those first couple series to help put them in position to score, though. I will give him that. Now, it's been a little bit of a tough sledding as far as, you know, getting that first touchdown, but he's put them in position to score.
It doesn't necessarily, like, just to play devil's advocate, because I am on your side, Hugh, it doesn't just have to be the defense that is the reason that the Eagles are down early in a game,
sure,
right?
Like, could be a fumble.
Could be a turnover, a bad special teams play, something like that. Right?
I know what,
like,
you're saying.
You could find yourself in a 14-0 hole, and we're not necessarily pissed off at the defense.
In a pickle. Yeah. I understand what you're saying.
And then you just wonder, can they throw their way back in? 215-592-9494. These are good problems to have. Right? We're talking about a 9-2 team, and we're wondering how they'll react in an NFC Championship game. Like, this is it's a good problem to have. Are you ready to say right now, this team's better than the team that made the Super Bowl 2 years ago? 215-592-9494. All right, coming up next, more on Saquon Barkley, the season he's having, which feels like an all-timer. I'm going to try to rank here what I think are the greatest individual seasons by an Eagle. Your calls on this. We'll see where I put Saquon here. Are you ready to say this team is better than the 2022 team? And your guesses on Hugh's clues. First clue today, holiday tradition. 215-592-9490 for Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. This Thanksgiving, we're serving up epic football moments with FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if you win. The FanDuel app serves up all the ingredients you need to place live bets, same game parlays, and so much more. Plus, when you win, you get paid instantly. Just visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to join today and get started with $150 in bonus bets if you win your first $5 bet. That's FanDuel.com/GIGLIO. Make this Thanksgiving extra special with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.